At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi on a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in, everyone. Another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We are going three wide this bowl season. I don't know if we'll have it this way every single bowl, but a little housekeeping. We will have multiple podcasts throughout the bowl season. Today's podcast with Adam Burke, Matt Humans, and myself, Tim Murray, we will do the bowl games December 16th through December 26th. The final bowl game we will discuss is Matt Humans' favorite bowl game, the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit with New Mexico State against Bowling Green. Your favorite bowl game. You've got analysis coming out your ears on that one, Matt.
Anytime New Mexico State plays in a bowl, it's got to be high atop your list. And by the way, New Mexico State's last game, it was a 24-point dog and beat Hugh Freeze by 35 points.
Oh, you're overlooking their impromptu victory over Valparaiso, Matt. Oh, yeah, how could true. You forget?
Next to last game.
Where they had almost 12 yards per play in that game.
We got a lot to get to. Obviously, we'll try to hit on all the opt-out news. Best bets. Lines are moving like crazy, so make sure to check out VSiN.com for all of our updates. Matt has already put up an article. Adam has been putting up articles as well, so we will power through all of these bowl games. We'll give you our best bets as well, but we'll give you analysis of each bowl game throughout the bowl season. So let's get to it. We'll start
Friday, December 16th.
And that is the Bahamas Bowl. Ladies and gentlemen, the UAB Blazers are 10.5-point favorites against Miami of Ohio. This game, depending on when people are listening to this podcast, could be outdated very quickly. That's why we are going to timestamp each day, and you can skip forward here. So UAB and Miami of Ohio, this is more of your lane of expertise, Mr. Burke, looking at the MAC. One thing to note, Bryant Vincent is the interim head coach for UAB. Of course, Trent Dilfer will be taking over the reins once this game concludes. Dwayne McBride is expected to, at least reports surfaced on Thursday, the nation's leading rusher, not to play. So that is something to certainly keep an eye on there. Mr. Burke, any thoughts on what used to be the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl?
Well, the first thing I look at here for a game in the Bahamas is the weather, right? It can always get rainy or windy. Looks like some rain in the forecast, not a whole lot of wind. So at least there's that. One of the reasons why this total's gone up. as opposed to going down. For me, you know, I put it in the best bets file. We're trying to have a pick on every game if we can help it over at vsin.com. Like UAB a little bit here in this spot, just because I do think that with this officially being Bryant Vincent's last game, UAB very focused and engaged to send him out a winner. The players actually sent a letter to the athletic department and the president and all the top officials at the university and are like, hey, you know, we want our voices to be heard. They weren't. So we'll see if, you know, they do rally for Vincent or if they just kind of collapse there. But Chuck Martin is 3-0 ATS in bowl games for Miami of Ohio. He's been really, really good thus far. But he's actually playing a team that's excited and motivated to be there now, I think. So lean UAB, put it up in the file. Not the strongest of my bowl plays, though.
Yeah, I had to break this game down for Jimmy Ott's Bet Rivers podcast and make a pick on this game. And I ended up taking the 11 with Miami. And I said the same thing. Not a strong opinion, but it was kind of based on the idea that Dwayne McBride might not play. And he had 272 rushing yards on 16 carries. UAB beat Louisiana Tech to get bowl eligible. And I also wonder if there's some unrest in the program, what Adam's talking about with the players, unhappy about how Bryant Vincent was treated and with Trent Dilfer named head coach. But I also think he's right that they're probably going to rally around Bryant Vincent here because they want to play for him in the bowl. But Miami's got a pretty good dual threat quarterback in Abion Smith, and they're 3-1 in their last four. I just thought the number looked a little bit high, and I did not bet this out of my pocket. I just put out a play on Miami plus 11. So there's a big difference whether or not you put money behind that or you just say, hey, this is a pick.
Totally agree with that. And if you're in your bowl confidence pools out there, if you haven't turned it in yet, I would just be a little careful. I think UAB, you know, certainly should win this game. As Steve Mackinnon pointed out in our, you know, bowl betting guide, MAC teams in the last decade, 19-41 straight up in bowl games. And they had a 2-0 banner year in the 2020 season. So I'm just bummed it's not the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl anymore. You know, think about eating some Popeyes chicken while
watching. You could still go to Popeyes after today's podcast, Tim.
It's true. I could do that.
All right. Where did Popeyes rank on your fast food rankings, by the way?
It was top 15.
Ooh, okay. Man, solid. I don't know if that was a top 15 bowl game. This one should be, though. Maybe top 10. The Cure Bowl, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern. Our colleague Stormy Bonantoni, she'll be on the sidelines for this top 25 showdown. The UTSA Roadrunners, taking on the Troy Trojans, CUSA champs for Sunbelt champs, total of 55.5. Line, let's just call it a pick. It's been moving back and forth. On Thursday, we saw some line movement towards the Roadrunners. Matt, you wrote this game up for VSiN.com. Any side you like in this one?
I do like the Troy side a little bit, which is interesting because when you write these games up, you have an idea which side you're going to like when you go into it. And then the more you dig into the numbers and do the research on the game, I kind of flipped and I went with Troy here when I thought I was going to like UTSA in the game. Frank Harris might be the most experienced quarterback in college football. He's going to come back for his seventh year.
Unbelievable.
He's going to be a seventh-year senior. He's the marquee player in this bowl. 3,865 passing yards, 31 touchdowns. He also ran for 588 yards and 9 TDs this season. That offense averages 38.7 points, so I think that's attractive to a lot of bettors. The Roadrunners, 486 yards per game, 177.5 on the ground. But, you know, I tend to prefer the better defensive team in a matchup of contrasting styles like this. And Troy is allowing 17.5 points per game, eighth in the nation in scoring defense. This is a legitimate defense here. And Troy rolls into the bowl on a 10-game winning streak. Mm-hmm. One of its losses this year was a fluke.
On a Hail Mary. Yep.
Gunnar Watson's actually picked up steam at quarterback here for the Trojans. He threw for 318 in that blowout of Coastal Carolina in the Sun Belt title game. I think the Roadrunner is going to run into the toughest defense they've faced since Texas in September. And even though Harris is the most dangerous dual-threat quarterback that Troy has faced, I think the Troy defense is more likely to impose its will and win this game. So I like Troy a little bit here.
Yeah, you know what? I actually like the over in this game, which I think is a little bit surprising because Troy has been as good defensively as they have been. And along with all the stats that Matt threw out, they're also ninth in the country in yards per play allowed. But this will be the first top 20 offense in yards per play that they've faced since they beat Western Kentucky 34-27 back in October. Total here, 55.5, 56. If we get a 34-27 game, that's going to go over the total here in this one. So I guess there's a little bit of a step up in class in terms of what Troy's defense will be facing. And UTSA's defense has had some issues throughout the year. They were 86th in yards per play, 5.77 allowed. Troy did play the stronger schedule, about 30 spots higher than UTSA, which is why I think the line initially moved. But to me, I just feel like, you know, for UTSA being a top 20 team in yards per play, I think they'll move the football a little bit here. I think Troy does as well. So took the over 55.5 in this one, one that I like quite a bit more, I would say, than that Bahamas Bowl that we just talked about.
All right, let's head to the weekend.
Saturday, December 17th.
Well, and to start it off, the most comical matchup of the entire bowl season, in my opinion, an old rivalry back in the day. I think there's some sort of trophy handed out for this one. Keg of Nails, I think, is that what they hand out for the Cincinnati-Louisville showdown there? They haven't played in, I think, 10 years since they were conference foes. So Cincinnati and Louisville. What to know about this game? Well, it's taking place at Fenway Park. It'll be at 11 a.m. Oh, yeah, both coaches left. Luke Fickell, Cincinnati's coach, he goes to Wisconsin. And with that, Louisville lost its head coach, Scott Satterfield, to Cincinnati. And I would think most Louisville fans are pretty happy about their current coaching situation because they got Jeff Brohm to come in from Purdue. Malik Cunningham, the most notable opt-out in this game, but a whole lot of opt-outs. Adam, I'll start with you. I know you wrote this one up for VSiN.com. Looking at the line as of time of record, as we're sitting here on a Thursday afternoon, the ultimate shrug'em line, Louisville -2 with a total of 40.
Yeah.
I'm sure you had fun writing this one up.
Where the hell do you begin with a game like this? I mean, it's not even just the head coaches. As you mentioned, Malik Cunningham has opted out. Ben Bryant, who was the starting quarterback most of the year for Cincinnati, he's out with a broken foot. So you got backup quarterbacks on both sides, where I think both backups are pretty significant downgrades. Coordinators have moved on. Satterfield took his defensive coordinator Brian Brown with him to Cincinnati. Louisville's offensive coordinator Lance Taylor is now the head coach at Western Michigan. Their secondary coach Wes McGriff went to Auburn. I truly have no idea what to do with this game. This might be, we were kind of talking about this just before we started recording, this might be the absolute worst bowl game to bet on that we've had in a long time, just because this could go any number of ways.
Yeah, I think it's interesting here because Malik Cunningham opting out and three other starters too. I did make a small bet on this game. I played it under the total of 42 because I've seen Brock Doman play, who's going to be the quarterback for the Cardinals, and I don't expect much out of the Louisville offense in this game. Deion Branch is going to be the interim coach. I thought basically you have, when you look at both sides here, you've got a complete lack of playmakers on both offenses going into this bowl game. And it's probably going to be a dreary, cold day at Fenway Park with a sparse crowd. I expect a lot of running and a low-scoring game. So I played this under 42. I think it's going to be a 20-17 type of game.
Here in Las Vegas, it was supposed to be in primetime. It'll instead be at 11:30 a.m. local because the Raiders aren't very good at football. So that game got flexed out of Sunday Night Football, leading to this game being flexed up in time. It is Oregon State, ranked 14th by the College Football Playoff Committee, against Florida, who comes in losers of two in a row and a whole host of opt-outs in year one of the Billy Napier era. This line opened 6.5 and is now sitting at 10.5, depending on where you look. Gents, here are the opt-outs for Florida. Get your pens ready. Quarterback Anthony Richardson, 17 passing touchdowns, 654 rushing yards, 2,500 plus passing yards. First team All-American guard Osiris Torrance. Second leading receiver Justin Shorter. Linebacker Ventrell Miller, 74 tackles. I do believe this team also has a host of players in the transfer portal. to keep an eye on there. I think the count was initially 16. Still fully known how many of those players may actually play in this game. Also, backup quarterback Jalen Kitna dismissed from the team. He was arrested on child pornography charges. A lot going on there for Billy Napier's squad. As for Oregon State, guys, really not much to note. Luke Musgrave is out. He's going to the NFL, but he missed the last 10 games due to injury. Chance Nolan, the quarterback who started the year as the starter, has hit the transfer portal, but Ben Gulbranson took over that job in early October. Rajon Wright, their starting corner, likely NFL draft pick. He's not playing, but he underwent thumb surgery. Other than that, you know, everyone is full go here on this Oregon State team. Damian Martinez, Pac-12 Offensive Rookie of the Year. Oregon State, outside of Tulane, the second most profitable team in the country at 10-2 ATS. And I think something to note, guys, here for Oregon State. And I think the number has probably gotten a little out of control, in my opinion. But Oregon State's going to be motivated. They have not won 10 games. They've only won 10 games, I should say, twice before in school history. It's the first time they've won 9 games in a decade. And last year, they got their ass kicked by Utah State in the LA Bowl. So I think there's maybe some uneasiness from that. So, you know, that's just what we have going into this game. Who will start for Florida? It's actually a quarterback that I think Florida coaches are decently high on. Jack Miller III, pretty high 4-star recruit, went to Ohio State, transferred to Florida, was expected to be the backup quarterback, had thumb surgery preseason, and then just did not get the backup job as the year went on. So he will get the start on Saturday for the Gators. Matt, I'll start with you on this one. The number is pretty high, 10.5. Any interest in the dog in this situation?
Very little interest. I typically think with SEC teams like Florida, it's an overreaction when you have some guys opt out because you have plenty of depth. And you, I mean, the guys behind them are pretty good players. So, and they might be motivated to play in a bowl game like this as well. At the same time, it looks like complete chaos behind the scenes in Florida right now. So I'm not sure that's a team I want to get behind. And Tim, just a general comment. I love the college bowl season, always have. But it's getting worse and worse every year. And a game like this is a prime example of why the bowl season's going downhill.
Yeah, don't disagree. I mean, Oregon State seems pretty motivated for this game to be here in Las Vegas. They do have two really good running backs. Yeah. Trevor Etienne and Montrell Johnson, both going to play, a sophomore and a freshman. Etienne, 705 on the ground, 6 touchdowns, 827 for Montrell Johnson. So they had kind of a three-headed rushing attack with Anthony Richardson, and then you hand it off to Jack Miller. So, you know, that certainly is something to note there.
I think so, but one of the comments you made, and I was writing about this too, Oregon State went to the L.A. Bowl last year and got it handed to them by Utah State. So, going to lay 10 against Florida? I'm not going to lay this number.
Yeah, I think it's gone too far. Matt, Adam, anything on this game?
Well, I mean, Oregon State, their last bowl win, 2013. They have one bowl win since 2008. So, you know, you talk about motivation. You talk about trying to handicap that. And I think we should stop for a second and discuss what it actually means to possibly each one of us, because my thought is motivation comes into play before the bowl game, right? In terms of how focused you are to watch film, in terms of how focused you are to stay in shape, you know, maintain your eligibility, all of that. Once you get between the lines, though, your competitive instincts take over. So I think a lot of it is, if you think a team's going to be way more motivated than the other, you play a first quarter, you play a first half, something like that. In particular, if you think the unmotivated team is the better team, the more talented team, and Florida does have more talent than Oregon State. So I think if you want to look at the motivation angle, to me, that comes into play first quarter, first half, where maybe you run into a situation during the game where, you know what, Jack Miller has really settled in. Florida looks like they want to be there as the game's going on. You may find a live betting opportunity on a team that you didn't expect to be motivated because of all the opt-outs and everything like that. So, Matt, I don't know how you handle, you know, handicapping of motivation where it's not quantifiable. It's a very intangible thing. You know, so to me, I think you kind of look at it maybe first quarter, first half, as opposed to a full game angle.
Yeah, you're playing the guessing game a lot of times with these. And when everybody thinks one thing, you probably want to look or think the opposite.
Yeah,
but to answer your question, Adam, I look in the mirror. I'm motivated to watch film. I'm motivated to stay in shape. Yes.
You've been watching a lot of that tape. I know that. Final thought on this one. You know, just as you pointed out, I think that's a good point. I mean, Jack Miller, he's going to be motivated. This is his opportunity to maybe try to take the starting job. He was a four-star recruit. And Ohio State, and you can, glean on this there, Adam, they don't take chumps at the quarterback position. They take pretty good quarterbacks year after year. So
remember when Joe Burrow couldn't find a way to play there?
Yeah. You calling Jack Miller the next Joe Burrow?
No, absolutely not. Oh. But I'm just saying.
Well, we were going to clip that and send it on social media. Adam Burke calls Jack Miller the next Joe Burrow. All right. A game that I have interest in, and apparently the rest of the world as well, which I don't love to see, Fresno State and Washington State, the L.A. Bowl, the Jimmy Kimmel L.A. Bowl. This game will be taking place 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific on ABC. Washington State, Fresno State. You have the Mountain West champion Fresno State Bulldogs and the Washington Cougars, Washington State Cougars, who did over-exceed expectations. They exceeded their win total, but they have got a lot of opt-out situations and coaching defections as well. Their offensive coordinator is now the new head coach at North Texas. Their defensive coordinator took the same job at Arizona State. Their best defensive player, Deion Henley, first team all Pac-12 linebacker. He will not be playing in this game. Francisco Magoa, I'm sure I butchered that last name. He is out for this game, hit the transfer portal. Their top two receiving targets are out for this game. And we've seen the line move quite a bit. Opened up Fresno as a dog. They are now a 3.5 or 4-point favorite. I think we talked about it, Adam, on the previous pod. I liked Fresno State. Now it's up past a field goal. So I might get creative in our best bets here. I will incorporate Fresno State because, Matt, I think this team is going to be, here's the key buzzword of the show, very motivated, to play in this bowl game. You've heard a lot from Jake Dickert, the head coach of Washington State. He talked about people trying to poach his players. He talked about, you know, the fact that he's going to have to leave L.A. and go recruit. Haven't heard a peep from Jeff Tedford. I think that team is focused in, and they want to send Jake Haener out a winner. I like Fresno. Might have to get a little unique on how we bet this game now that's up at 4.
You know, that's the question I'm facing right now, too, because this is one of my favorite bowl bets, and I was on with Mitch Moss and Paul Howard last week, a week ago, I would say about 10 days ago, and I had bet Fresno minus 1 at that point.
I have them at pick, I have a minus 120 money line, excuse me.
Now it's up to 4 here at Circuit. Do you take a little bit back, a plus 4? I actually think there's a good chance Fresno wins this game in a blowout, but I might end up taking a little bit back, a plus 4. Who knows? I haven't decided yet. But Jake Haener might be worth more to the point spread than any quarterback in college football this season. And since he's come back, Fresno has averaged 37.2 points in the 6 games with him at quarterback. It's not a one-man show either because you got Jordan Mims, the running back, Jalen Moreno Cropper, who's a big-time receiver. And again, you talked about the Washington State coaching staff missing guys. How about that season-ending performance against Washington by the Cougars' defense allowed Michael Penix to pass for 485 yards, and the Huskies rolled up 703 yards and 51 points in that game. And again, last year, the Mountain West team took down the Pac-12 team.
Utah State.
The Mountain West is not outclassed in these type of matchups. I like Fresno at minus 1. I still would have recommended it up to 3. Right now at 4, I'm not really sure what to do. But also, don't forget this Fresno defense allowed a total of 30 points in the last 3 games. And on the on the flip side, you have a defense that just allowed 703 yards and 51 points in its last game. So I'm pretty sure Fresno's the right side here. And I think sometimes you get a little bit too number sensitive in the bowl games, and you can just lay it. We saw that, I think, was at the bowl game in Detroit last year with Nevada, where everybody laid the number when Nevada had everybody sitting out.
Yep.
And that number moved 7 or 8 points, maybe 10 points. You still could have laid it, and it was a blowout win. So sometimes you don't want to be too number sensitive in the bowl games.
And before, Adam, we get to your thoughts on this game, Brad Powers was on VSiN Primetime earlier this week. We were talking about this game, and he said, I understand to what you were saying, Matt. The thought is, oh, we missed a good number, which is true. And you always want to try to get the best of the number. Last year, if you bet line moves of 3 points or more right before kickoff, you went 13-4 ATS. So sometimes chasing that steam in the bowl season isn't the worst thing. Right. However, I'm not going to sit here on this podcast when I gave it out on my show, and I think on the last podcast at around a pick or money line, short money line price. So I will get creative. I'm going to have Fresno State. I think they're the right side, but I don't know about laying four. Your thoughts on the LA Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, anytime a number goes through a key number like three, it's something you want to pay attention to. I will say, if you haven't filled out, say, your confidence pool picks, you know, that's something where maybe you're not taking Fresno State minus 3.5, but it does seem like there's a very high likelihood that they do win this game. And maybe that's one that you want to assign a little bit higher of a value to. Not only did Washington State lose both coordinators, and I think that's something that doesn't get enough run during the bowl season. Everyone wants to talk about the head coach, but it's the coordinators that put together the game scripts. It's the coordinators that recruited a lot of these guys. Those are the guys I think that maybe in some cases mean a lot more than the head coach when they leave. But along with that, Washington State basically lost their entire linebacker core for this game. And usually a linebacker or maybe a safety winds up being the captain of the defense, the guy that relays the plays, all of that. Washington State is very, very thin at linebacker now against a very potent Fresno State offense. So I don't know how much higher this number would have to go for me to have any interest in Washington State, but at 3.5, I certainly don't.
All right, let's get to the Lending Tree Bowl.
Tim, yes. One note on this Nevada game last year. I think that number moved. It went from Pick'em to what, about 8 or 10? It was a monster move. Anyway, Western Michigan won that game against Nevada in the Quick Lane Bowl, 52-24.
And remember, the MAC is generally an auto fade in bowl season too.
Yeah, that was everybody opted out there for Nevada, and they lost their coach. Right. So that a lot going against them there. All right, let's get to the Lending Tree Bowl later on Saturday, 5:45 Eastern kick time in Mobile. It'll be Southern Miss 6-6 against Rice, the only team sub 500 in bowl season. This number has pretty much hung out at 6, 6.5 the majority of bowl season. Total sitting at 45.5. Adam, you wrote this up for VSiN.com, so I'll give you the floor on this thrilling matchup between two former rivals in CUSA.
Thrilling is a stretch, but, you know, look, I mean, Rice hasn't been to a bowl game since 2014. So, again, you talk about motivation, and people are going to play up that angle with the Owls. But the problem is they're not a very good team, and they've had a lot of injury attrition at the quarterback position throughout the course of the season. So they're a team that's really poor on defense, 118th in the country in yards per play allowed, 6.22. When you've got a bad defense and you've got an offense with quarterback injuries and a lot of concerns, not a whole lot of rhythm and chemistry at that position right now, it's very hard to take Rice in this situation. And Southern Miss is a team that I haven't necessarily liked all that much. They do have that win over Tulane earlier in the year, which remains one of the strangest results of the season. But they have a much higher ceiling than the Owls. And it's just one of those spots to me where I think you lay it or you stay off the game, just because Rice is, I mean, you mentioned it, the only team with a losing record in the bowl season. They are the worst of the bowl teams, and I would kind of expect that to play through here.
Proximity-wise, Mobile is just an hour and 45-minute drive from Hattiesburg. So this is a regional game for the Golden Eagles
Tim
there.
Tim was really hyping this up.
I was. I'm very excited about this game.
Just wait till we get to Bowling Green, New Mexico State.
it might be part of a best bet. We might involve that. Any thoughts, Matt, on
what
to expect?
I can't wait to see it.
Lending Tree Bowl.
After listening to you guys talk about it, I can't wait to see this game. Frank Gore Jr. I think Frank Gore Jr. And the Golden Eagles are going to run all over a Rice defense that allows 167 yards per game on the ground. And like Adam said, Rice lost three of its final four to finish 5-7. This has got to be a favorite or pass.
Let's get to the New Mexico Bowl. I haven't looked at the weather. It could get chilly down there in Albuquerque. This will be the primetime game on ABC. Thanks, Raiders. We get Southern Methodist against BYU in this spot. This line has been dancing like crazy. It is currently sitting SMU -4. Kalani Sitake talked to reporters on Wednesday. Jaren Hall has not practiced. And I think an offensive lineman, someone on BYU's roster, said it would be a miracle if Jaren Hall is playing in this game. I'm under the assumption Jaren Hall is not going to play. I don't know about the health of Puka Nacua as well. He was a bit banged up. I'll be honest, guys, and I know I've said this about a couple games. I don't have much interest of playing anything in this one, just with all the uncertainty there. It is Rhett Lashley's first year. They've had, you know, some couple opt-outs of note. They will be without their, I believe, leading wide receiver is out for this one. Rashee Rice will not play, over 1,300 yards receiving and 10 touchdowns. Adam, I'll go to you first on this one. Laying four are the Mustangs in this one. Any interest for the New Mexico Bowl?
Since you asked about the weather, no wind, temperatures around 27 to 30 degrees, something like that. Something to keep in mind here, though, is that Albuquerque is at about 5,000 feet in elevation. So that is something that would benefit BYU, but it's very hard to take BYU given the fact that Jaren Hall not going to play in this game. Maybe in the second half, you kind of look for BYU if they seem like they want to be there and if they're kind of losing at halftime. You know, obviously, it's a tough situation for SMU going to play in cold weather. You know, you haven't really played in a few weeks, so maybe your conditioning not in tip-top shape. But those are just, you know, things that kind of factor into the handicap when what we're talking about here is the most important thing, that Jaren Hall's not going to play. And BYU is a much, much different team without him.
Yeah, I received a text Monday morning at 7:32 a.m. from a good source. Jaren Hall is out for BYU. The backup transferred. The third stringer is hurt, and Billups is going to start. Nick Billups, who's running the scout team after transferring from Utah, it could be a wildcat offense for BYU. So I had to get a bet down on SMU no matter what. And I'm not a big Kalani Sitake guy anyway, Tim. I think you and I have talked about that this year. I think it's time for a coaching change at BYU. And even though you got a little uncertainty on the SMU side here in this game, I think you got to, again, this looks like a favorite or pass game to me.
Well, and BYU also fired their defensive coordinator. So I think Sataki's going to be calling the defensive plays here on Saturday night. Final game on Saturday. Speaking of firings, North Texas. Hey, congrats for making the CUSA title game. We're going to fire your head coach. And they did. North Texas has moved on from Seth Luttrell. Boise State, this will be the finale for Dirk Cutter, who came out of retirement to step in as offensive coordinator. And when he stepped in, also when Taylen Green stepped in too, they played some pretty solid offense leading into the ultimate loss on their home field in the Mountain West Championship game. This game, proximity-wise, is much closer to North Texas, if I remember correctly. The fake bowl game for Frisco Football Classic, North Texas was in it last year. So welcome back to Toyota Stadium. I would actually look a little bit at the total here, guys. North Texas's defense is absolute garbage. It is horrible. They cannot stop a nosebleed. And you look back to September 17th, they gave up 58 points to UNLV. They've had other games where they gave up, you know, 44 to Memphis. Somehow, some way, they held Western Kentucky to 13 points. I don't really know how that one unfolded. But if you watch the CUSA championship, they couldn't stop anything UTSA was doing. So I would look maybe a little bit towards the over. It's moved towards 59, 59 and a half. It's big spread here of 11 or 11 and a half, 11 and a half where we sit here. Boise State, North Texas, Adam. This is anything Austin Ani, the finale for the, I think, like 29-year-old quarterback down there for the Mean Green?
Well, I believe that Cal also hired North Texas's offensive line coach and offensive coordinator Mike Bloch. So there's another loss for the Mean Green coaching staff here in this game. Phil Bennett was a head coach at SMU from 2002 to 2007. He's the interim for the bowl game. Was the interim in the Compass Bowl for Pitt back in 2010, 2011. They won that game 27-10 over Joker Phillips and Kentucky, but I don't really see North Texas being super engaged, being super invested here in this one. And as you mentioned, you know, we talk about maybe UAB rallying a little bit for Bryant Vincent. You know, Dirk Cutter and the turnaround that he created at Boise State this season. I mean, they were a one-armed man in a boat sort of earlier on in the year offensively, but then he came in and just completely changed everything. They ran the ball very, very effectively. They should run the ball effectively in this game. Doesn't mean I want to lay 11 necessarily. I don't think I'll have a bet on this game, but another one, and this seems to be a growing theme here, guys, it's favorite or nothing for me.
Yeah, it's the numbers got a little bit too high here at 11. 10 and a half. Actually, you got a couple 10 and a halves out there, but mostly it's 11. And actually, it's circa right now, it's 11 and a half. Boise was manhandled by Fresno in the Mountain West title game on the blue turf. I thought that was eye-opening. But Tim,
is that a sign of just how good Fresno is?
I think so, and that's another reason why I like Fresno so much in that bowl game. So let's hope that angle pays off. Got to hope that pays off for Fresno in the LA Bowl. But Tim, I tend to agree with you here. I think you could see a really high scoring game here. So to me, it's going to be over or pass. I have not bet this yet.
Yeah, I know. You know, people are listening like, where are your bets? Yeah, you can mark me down. Let's go over. I played 58. I know 59 is a key number, but we'll go over here. I think North Texas, can you get me 21, North Texas? That's all I'm asking.
Well, also, this is a game where Circa opened the total 56.5, and it's up to 59, and that's not the public betting the over.
Yeah, exactly.
I think something to follow up on there where, you know, you're saying, well, the listeners are kind of like, where are your bets? It's hard, right? I mean, Matt's talked about some of the games that he's got in on good numbers already. You've mentioned a few of them as well. It's just one of those things where you have to try and attack a lot of these openers if you can sort of project who's in and who's out. At the current numbers, it's hard to bet a lot of these things.
Absolutely true. And that's why when we do our best bet recap, you know, my Fresno State bet, I'm going to pair it with Southern Miss plus, you know, 129. Money line parlay. I think Southern Miss is the superior team. You can get creative to do that. I really like Fresno, but I'm not going to race to lay 4 when that number was, you know, around pick. All right, we've wrapped up the weekend. Let's head to Monday.
Monday, December 19th.
One game on Monday, the Myrtle Beach Bowl in Conway, South Carolina, on the surf turf down there at the home of Coastal Carolina. You've got Marshall, the Thundering Herd. Great finish to the season for Marshall, and one of the best coaching jobs, maybe the best coaching job in all the country, UConn, with this team being able to get to bowl eligibility, rush the field after beating Liberty as a 2-touchdown underdog. Nathan Carter, who dealt with a lot of injuries this year, has hit the transfer portal for UConn. Rasheen Ali, I believe, is going to play in this game. They have two really good running backs, Kalen LeBourne and Rasheen Ali for Marshall. So this is a team that went heavy in the transfer portal, obviously, you know, went to South Bend and pulled off that upset. But a good finish to the season for the Thundering Herd. They are laying 10 against UConn in a game that I think is my guess, guys, that most people would gravitate towards the dog just because of the year that UConn had. Matt, how do you look at this game? Anything you like?
Tim, I was going to remind you, do you recall when Marshall beat Notre Dame?
I do. Oh, yes, okay. It was fun. Yes, yeah. And Tyler Buckner broke his collarbone in that game, too.
I kind of lean. To me, this is not going to be a bet, and it looks like one of those games where I'd think about taking the 10 or 10.5 or just pass – altogether on UConn. I really don't want to lay this type of number with Marshall. I'm not gonna have a lot of analysis on this game.
In-depth handicap on that.
I just don't. I don't have much. I don't see much to like on this game whatsoever.
You know, the more I kind of look at this game, the more I start getting interested in laying the number with Marshall. And it's obviously, you know, not a very palatable bet, especially because when you look at Marshall last year, you know, Billy Napier left for Louisiana for Florida. The Raging Cajuns were kind of in a bit of a state of flux, and they beat Marshall badly, 36-21. They outgained him by 200 yards in that game, 220 yards to be exact. So Charles Huff's first bowl game appearance didn't go all that well. With that said, I mean, Marshall is second in the country in yards per carry allowed with 2.8. They're 6th in the country in yards per play allowed with 4.55. UConn has to move the ball on the ground. We've seen that all season long. I don't know that they're going to be able to do it in this game. So maybe that lends itself more towards an under than laying the number with Marshall, something like that. Totals primarily 41 out there in the marketplace. But the more I kind of look at this game, I feel like Marshall has more paths to win by margin, a more balanced offense, and again, I mean, UConn is a very, very, very popular underdog, and this number hasn't gone under 10 yet. So kind of starting to think that maybe I'm interested in Marshall, as ugly of a bet as that seems to be. And hell, they could lose the game outright, but I do think that you can at least make a fairly decent case for Marshall covering this number.
We did an exercise on VSiN Primetime doing confidence picks. I know you did that in the VSiN Bowl betting guide. I gave Marshall 32 points. I think I'd be very surprised.
Just talking about straight up wins.
Yeah, right? That's a straight up win. All right, let's move on to Tuesday.
Tuesday, December 20th.
I will be on hand on the sideline. Hopefully it doesn't snow or rain. For the famous Idaho Potato Bowl played at Boise State Stadium on the blue turf. So we go from the surf turf to the blue turf on Tuesday. San Jose State against Eastern Michigan. San Jose State down the stretch, guys, after they tragically lost their teammate, Camden McWright, went 0-5 ATS. So certainly not a great finish to the season against the spread, but San Jose State finishes the season 7-4. Eastern Michigan won their final three games, finished a co-MAC West champ. However, Toledo got the head-to-head tiebreaker there. This might be one of the cleanest games when it comes to opt-outs or portals. Both teams are not reporting anything on either side. So everyone's playing. Two guys to know here. You got the respective player of the year defensively on both teams in their conferences. Viliami Fehoko from San Jose State, 18 and a half tackles for a loss, 9 sacks, Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year. And then Jose Ramirez averaged over a sack per game and led the country in that category and was the MAC Defensive Player of the Year. And Matt, I know you remember fondly the 1987 California Bowl.
Sure,
this was a 17-point underdog. Eastern Michigan pulled the upset over San Jose State, the only time these two teams have played. Under Chris Creighton, the Eastern Michigan Eagles are 0-4 in bowl games, including last year losing by 36 to Liberty. Brent Brennan's only bowl game was a loss in the COVID season to Ball State. Chevin Cordero and Eli Cooks are a good 1-2 combo to watch there. Quarterback Chevin Cordero, the transfer from Hawaii. A lot of words I just said. What do I think about this game? I don't think much. I'm not going to touch it. Maybe an under. It could be cold. You know, how is San Jose State going to play in the cold? But they played in Logan late in the season. So this is a team that is played in some cold weather before. So no play for me. I'll be there. So I'll be keeping an eye on it. But I think two relatively motivated teams to play in this bowl game in Boise.
After that 7-minute speech, I think it's pretty obvious that Tim's done his homework on this, and he's going to be the sideline reporter for the game, right?
I could confirm. Yes, that is a fact. Yes.
You know, I think one of the misperceptions, too, is that the teams in the Bay Area are warm weather teams. It's cold in the Bay Area, Tim.
That's right.
You go there too often? So I think San Jose can handle the elements in Boise. I'm not worried about that. Passing game that averages 265 yards per game, and you talked about no opt-outs. Yeah, San Jose and Eastern Michigan, not known for NFL draft picks here, but I think the San Jose talent is definitely a couple levels above what Eastern Michigan's got. By the way, that was Eastern Michigan's only bowl win in program history in 1987, that California Bowl. I like San Jose or pass here. And Chevin Cordero has had a pretty good season after transferring from Hawaii. I think he'd be the difference maker in this game. So I do. I did not bet this yet. I might play it, but I lean the San Jose State way.
One thing I want to mention real quick here is people are going to look at this game and say, oh, San Jose State's in the Mountain West. They're used to going to Boise. They're used to playing on the blue turf, all that. They haven't actually played in Boise since 2016. So don't let that factor into your handicap or anything like that. People want to play up these angles of a team being comfortable knowing its surroundings or something like that. That's not the case here in this game at all. San Jose State, none of these players have actually played there on the blue turf. I do think that it's a good thing for Eastern Michigan that Chris Creighton's still around. I know when you and I did one of the previous bowl episodes, Tim talked about maybe him being linked to that Purdue job. Winds up going to Ryan Walters, defensive coordinator from Illinois. It doesn't go to Chris Creighton. But as good of a coach as Chris Creighton has been, in the bowl games he's gone to, they've lost all four of them. Now, three of them have been close. They got blown away by Liberty last year in the Lending Tree Bowl. So that was kind of the outlier. I don't know if I could bet on San Jose State to win this game by margin, but I'm not really excited to back Eastern Michigan either. I do think maybe, you know, you could consider an under here in this game, where I think Chris Creighton probably wants to run the ball, try to be the more physical team, try and take the air out of it a little bit, and the weather could contribute to that as well. So lean towards the under for me, but nothing from a side standpoint.
Steve Mackinnon pointed this out in our bowl betting guide. Mountain West all time against the MAC against the spread, 9-5 in bowl games. We mentioned it before, 19-41 over the last decade. MAC teams straight up in bowl games. However,
to be fair, coming from Chris Felica, MAC teams the last 3 years in bowl games, 8-9 straight up, 10-6-1 against the spread.
Yeah,
so
I think that
it's not a straight fade anymore.
Yeah, and I think that thought of just straight up fade the MAC is not the case. Well, you mentioned Liberty taking care of business last year in the Lending Tree Bowl. Hugh Freeze was the head coach then. He ain't anymore. And Liberty is down in the Boca Raton Bowl later on Tuesday the 20th, taking on the Fighting Jason Candles, the MAC champions, Toledo Rockets. This number has moved to 5 in favor of the Toledo Rockets. Liberty has, boy, I mean, you talk about highs and lows. This is a team that beat Arkansas and then closes out the year with this wonderful slate of losses. UConn, Virginia Tech, and then a 5-touchdown loss to New Mexico State, 49-14. Good luck with back in Liberty. But can you make the case, Adam, I'll go to you first, that this line has gone too far with the talent that is still left on that Liberty roster?
Yeah, I think you can make that case. And also, the players knew that Hugh Freeze was gone. Well, now he's gone. Right. So that's no longer a distraction for them. It's no longer anything they have to worry about. They don't have to throw a middle finger up at him anymore. They know they've got Jamie Chadwell coming in. And by the way, there's going to be a massive offensive overhaul for this team this offseason. So this will be the last game that they play kind of under their old systems and all that, which will be something to talk about heading into next year. Toledo hasn't won a bowl game since 2015. They're 0-4 over their last 4. They've played some close games, but I think you can make a case that possibly this line has gotten a little bit high, because if you are Liberty, right, the way you closed out the regular season was embarrassing. You lose by 35 at home to New Mexico State. That's embarrassing. And now, like I said,
fans were chanting, take the job. Right. You Freeze.
And now Freeze is gone. I mean, I do think that maybe this one has swung a little bit too far, not running to back Liberty by any means, but I think we actually may have a dog or pass scenario finally for the first
finally
time on the show.
Yeah, not much to add there. You guys broke that down pretty well. I really had no interest in a couple of games on the card, and that's one of them. And the other game was the Marshall game. So,
all right.
I will say, Ohioans going to Boca Raton in December is tale as old as time.
Yeah, I think Toledo, you know, is probably pretty excited to be headed down to Del Boca Vista there, FAU Stadium in Boca Raton. All right, on to Wednesday, only one game.
Wednesday, December 21st.
The Caesars Superdome, Western Kentucky and South Alabama. And we've seen this line go like a roller coaster, up then down. South Alabama and the Jaguars are right now laying 4.5 with a total of 56. This number was north of a touchdown. Why? Because we thought Austin Reed, the quarterback for Western Kentucky, was out. Well, he said, I'm back. And he will be playing in this game. So now the line is settled. South Alabama has never won a bowl game in school history. They are a 4.5-point favorite here against Western Kentucky and that high-flying offense. Matt, I'll start with you. A total of 56, a spread of 4.5. Any interest in this one?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of interest in Austin Reed. Don't you?
Yeah.
I wonder if
fun Jeff, quarterback to watch.
I wonder if Jeff Brohm's going to look at him as, you know, possibly a guy to plug in that Louisville.
Is he going to go back in the?
Year.
Is he going to go back in the portal? Maybe.
Why not? Why not?
There's no rules.
Tim, would you feel? Would you be okay if he transferred to Notre Dame?
I've got my eyes set on an AAC quarterback.
You got somebody
there.
Else?
Yeah.
Let's see. As far as this game goes, I don't have a play on it. I think. With Austin Reed coming back, I kind of lean to Western Kentucky here, but I have not bet this yet. I was surprised. I thought he was gone.
I thought so too.
And then when he said he's coming back to play in the bowl, it kind of changes the way you look at it. And Tyson Helton's still going to be there. His name was tossed around for a couple of coaching openings. So actually, this is a game where I might end up on the underdog. I might take the 4.5 with the Hilltoppers.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that nobody hired Kane Womack during this. You know, this coaching carousel here, where I know he's only been there 2 years, but I mean, they went 10-2 this year.
If only there were a couple jobs in the state of Alabama. Oh, wait, there were two of them.
Right. There were a lot of jobs. So I don't know if maybe he'll be a guy that gets a strong look next year, something like that. I would assume another guy from a team that we talked about, Troy, John Sumrall, should probably get a better job next coaching cycle as well. But, you know, for Tyson Helton last year, I mean, and they went to the Boca Raton Bowl and blew out Appalachian State. And App State...
It's Bailey Zappi time, though. Pew, pew,
right.
Pew.
But I mean, but Austin Reed's a pretty damn good quarterback, too. You know, a guy that was top five in terms of passing yards this season. The thing that really holds me up on this game, where I think that you could make a strong case for Western Kentucky with Womack being back, but... with Reed being back, is that South Alabama is just really well coached. I think they are extremely well coached in all aspects of that team. They got a good defensive coordinator. They've got Major Applewhite's been their offensive coordinator. I think this is a really, really good bowl game. We talk about some of the best bowl games to watch. I think this one's up there. Doesn't mean it's a good one to bet, but I think it's a good one to watch. One thing I think is interesting, though, is that we obviously saw this total take a massive nosedive when Reed was said to be transferring. This total opened 61.5, got down to as low as 53.5. It's only gone back up to 56 now, which I find kind of curious with Reed back in the fold.
All right, moving on.
Thursday, December 22nd.
We've got Air Force and Baylor. I think we'll actually have some bets in this one. I took 7 with Air Force, and you know what? I'd probably still take the 5.5, and I think that'll most likely still be an official play here on the podcast. You've heard it all week. Service academies come ready to go in bowl games. Last year, Army did not cover against Missouri. They won that game last second field goal. But as our good friend, the Bear, Chris Felica, pointed out on Twitter, last 10 years, service academies 13-3 ATS in bowl games, 5-1 as an underdog with 3 outright wins. You look at Air Force, maybe a little bit of a disappointing year. A lot of high expectations. Did ultimately get over their win total, Matt. However, Baylor, they were in the Sugar Bowl last year. They were Big 12 champions. And now, no offense to the good folks there in Fort Worth at the Armed Forces Bowl, but they're playing in the Armed Forces Bowl against a triple option. Oh, by the way, Dave Aranda fired his defensive coordinator leading up to this game. So, I'm going to take the points. I think Air Force is live here.
By the way, back-to-back Sugar Bowls for Baylor.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I lean Air Force as well here. I think the Baylor defense was a little bit disappointing this season. Allowed 138 rushing yards per game. That's going to be a problem against an Air Force offense that runs for 330 per game. You got to like Brad Roberts and that Falcons offense. So I lean the dog in this one as well. I think the Falcons should be live, and it's going to be got to be a little bit awkward for Baylor to be playing in TCU's home stadium here. But
I didn't even think about that.
kind of an oddity, but not crazy about the way Baylor finished the season either. So I'm going to go with I'm probably going to end up on the Air Force side here. What do you say the trend is for
13-3 service academies? 13-3 over the last decade. 5-1 last as an underdog, 3 outright victories. 5-1 ATS.
I like Dave Aranda a lot too, but that defense was not up to his standards this year, and which is why he fired the DC.
There you go. Yeah. Adam, you really liked Air Force this year. You got there in your win total with that 13-3 regular season finale over San Diego State. Like the Falcons here?
Well, I wish it could have gone better with Air Force because I also had them to win the Mountain West, so I wish that would have come through, but at least I did wind up getting the win total there. Something I think it's really interesting about, that trend with the 13-3 for the service academies, we always talk about how difficult it is to prep for the option in a week, but you have more than a week to prep for the option in bowl season, and it hasn't mattered one bit. So, I kind of thought about it, as Matt mentioned, Dave Aranda, really, really good defensive mind. Oh, Baylor's defense should kind of be up to the task. Maybe not, at least, based on what recent history has shown us. Even though this total's gone up, and obviously it's some pretty smart money driving this total up, I kind of like the under in this game. Under 49 is out there. Baylor wants to be physical and run the football too. So I think that's exactly what they want to do to this Air Force defense. Because the thing about service academy defenses is they're typically undersized. They're typically a little bit smaller. So I think Baylor can have some impact at the line of scrimmage offensively themselves to where we get some long drives in this game. We know Air Force will have long drives. It's just what they do. But I think we could have some long drives both ways here in this game. So I actually like the under 49 in this one.
We move on.
Friday, December 23rd.
The Independence Bowl, 3 p.m. Eastern. Houston and UL Lafayette. Houston right now laying 7. Back to our good friend the Bear. Here's a little trend for you. Dana Holgorsen in bowl games is not very good. He doesn't seem to care. Here is the nugget on old mad scientist Dana Holgorsen. I believe he is. There it is. 2-7 ATS, 3-6 straight up in bowl games. Holgorsen's teams have lost by at least 14 points in 4 of their last 5 bowl games. I don't know if you guys remember the Houston Army bowl game. It was, I believe, Armed Forces Bowl.
Whoa, wow.
Army.
70-14 or something?
Army had 10 possessions and they scored 10 touchdowns. Against Houston, 70-14 in that one. Dog or pass for me. I can't lay 7 with Dana Holgorsen and the Houston Cougars in this spot.
Matt,
I have to give Eddie Walls a shout out on that Army Houston game. Do you know the handicap college
football I do not.
Handicapper Eddie Walls? I know Adam knows him on Twitter. It was a couple years ago, at the right beginning of the bowl season. He said Army his best bet, so I played it. I certainly didn't expect a 50-point win.
70-burger he put on.
I still remember that when he touted that, and it looked good. And, man, that was the best play of the entire bowl season. I faded Dana Holgorsen, I think it was 2 years ago, when against Hawaii in the bowl game.
Yep. The COVID Hawaii bowl in, New Mexico or something
that. That's right. And Hawaii rolled to the win in that game. Cougars had a lot of guys sitting out. So, Tim, I would tend to agree with what you said here. To me, it's going to be Lafayette or pass.
What do you make of the line move here with this line going up on Houston? Because people know that Dan Holgorsen's bad. Yeah, that's what I'm...
Is Clayton Toon definitely playing? I mean, he's an NFL quarterback, too. I mean, in this day and age, Charlie Jones opted out for Iowa. I mean, so anybody can opt out. I don't know. I just... Something to keep an eye on there.
There's something about this line move that kind of, I don't want to say freaks me out, but it kind of makes me think about my handicap here, because as I mentioned already, Louisiana was in a massive state of flux last year. Michael DeSormo comes in as the interim. Of course, he played quarterback there in college, and they racked up almost 500 yards against Marshall. And Marshall's been historically one of the stronger, more consistent group of five programs out there. And Louisiana, in a state of flux, just played really, really well against them. So I'm trying to figure out why this line is going in the opposite direction of maybe not where I expected it to go, but I kind of thought it would stay where it was as opposed to go up on the Houston side. I can't really see anything statistically that I don't like about Louisiana. Losing Detroit by 6 is fine. It got blown out by Florida State, but down the stretch, they largely played fine and clinched a bowl game when they had to. So I don't know. I feel like Louisiana's live here, especially with the way Holgorsen treats bowl games.
Later that night, Missouri taking on Wake Forest in the Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa, Florida. Total of 60.5, we'll say. Wake Forest, a 1-point favorite. Line has moved against him here. Sam Hartman is going to play. Dave Clawson, very odd, said, that's his final game for Wake Forest. He's probably going pro unless some sort of offer comes his way. I'm like, okay, that seems odd. Wake Forest, you might recall, played in the wonderful Gator Bowl last year when they got last-minute opponent Rutgers, and they blew them out. Missouri gets their regular season finale to get to bowl eligibility over Arkansas. Thank you very much, Tigers, in that one. Love it. Their wide receiver has opted out in this game. So line move towards Mizzou. I like Sam Hartman. I like Dave Clawson. The line move to steal a line from Adam just a moment ago. Spooks me. I'm going to stay off this one. Matt?
No play for me. just a tough one. I mean, Sam Hartman coming back to quarterback. Another game you would think is a positive for Wake, but also Missouri has been hit hard by guys entering the transfer portal, so it's kind of hard for me to pick a side in this one right now.
Yeah, it's a tough game, and I mean, obviously the line kind of implies it's very coin flippy in nature here with Wake Forest just being a 1-point favorite. Do really like Dave Clawson. There's nothing I can really argue with about his performance in bowl season. Hasn't been great, hasn't been bad, but that's a guy that we know is a really, really strong head coach overall. Missouri hasn't won a bowl game since 2014, so you talk about that motivation angle and if it really matters, but tricky game. Really, really tricky game here, I think, where you know, this is one where I'd also pay close attention to the weather, too. Being down in Tampa on December 23rd, we're too far in advance to get a decent weather forecast on this game, but certainly a possibility for wind, rain, things of that sort. If you get that, it's going to limit Sam Hartman and that Wake Forest offense. So this may be one where you just want to kind of wait and see what the weather conditions look like before deciding on a bet.
All right, get the eggnog out for
Christmas Eve.
Yeah, the Hawaii Bowl. Love it. San Diego State taking on Middle Tennessee State. Matt Eumanns and I's favorite bowl game. Forget the NFL on Saturday, Christmas Eve. We're watching the Hawaii Bowl, and the Aztecs are laying 7 against Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee did win their final 3 games of the season to get to bowl eligibility over these gauntlet of foes. Charlotte, Florida Atlantic fired their coach, and FIU, who gave their coach an extension today, by the way. Middle Tennessee taking on San Diego State, and it felt like, Matt, San Diego State, despite their performance against Air Force, where they played really poorly, it seems like they've found something in Jalen Maiden, their quarterback. Is 7 too much, though, to be laying for the Aztecs, a team, though, that is familiar with the island? They go out there every other year.
You know, it's interesting because I thought the quarterback play was going to be really bad for San Diego State. Like you said, I think they discovered something, Aztecs did this season, that made them a lot more dangerous because they still have the typical tough defense. It's not going to give up much here. But I think this number is too high. Middle Tennessee is one of those volatile teams, won 7 games. Tim, all 7 by double digits. But they also got blown out several times. So I think it's kind of a hard team to handicap, but this number is a little bit too high in my estimation. I'm not crazy about San Diego State. If you got the opener, I could make much better case for the Aztecs. I think it's circa. It opened 5. Some other places it was 3.5. At 7, I think you got enough line inflation where you could actually make a better case for Middle Tennessee plus the points.
You know, I think San Diego State was the play. At 7, I don't think you can really take the Aztecs here. As Matt said, it is a really big number. I don't know if maybe this mirrors the 2015 Hawaii Bowl where it was San Diego State against Cincinnati. San Diego State was a better team that year. There's no question about that. They were 11-3, went undefeated in the Mountain West. They won 42-7 over Cincinnati, a team that won its regular season finale to get to 7-5 and then went out and treated Hawaii as if it was a vacation for them. I don't know if that's going to be the case here in this game. Rick Stockstill's a pretty decent head coach, not particularly good in bowl games necessarily. But, you know, again, does the familiarity for San Diego State, does that hurt them in the sense that they're like, well, we don't get to necessarily go somewhere unique or different for the bowl game. We get to go to Hawaii. Going to Hawaii never sucks, but, you know, for them, it's going to be kind of an interesting thing. So, at 7, I think it's too high, but I think if you got in on San Diego State early, that'd have been the play.
Here's the thing. If you're going to lay 7 points, you better be laying it with a good quarterback or a good offense.
By the way, for those of you watching our secret stream, Adam Burke's computer just completely turned off.
The blue screen of death.
And you know what? We saved the best for last, though.
I don't need it. The computer's up here for this one.
He's got a great memory. He doesn't need the computer. But still, talking about San Diego State's offense, Jalen Maiden, 10 TDs, 7 picks. For the season, the Aztecs, 13 touchdown passes, 11 interceptions. It's still not a very good offense. You don't have a stud running back like the Aztecs have had in the past. It's kind of like running back by committee, and none of those guys are standouts. And you don't really have a big-time wide receiver either. And if you watched the Air Force San Diego State game to wrap up the season, you're not laying the points with the Aztecs here.
Did you just talk yourself into Middle Tennessee?
I said at 7, I think the line inflation is enough. You can make a better case for Middle Tennessee.
All right. As I mentioned,
do you think it comes off 7? Sorry, I'm trying to just drag this out while my laptop restarts.
Don't worry, I'll carry us on this.
You're talking about a San Diego State team that lost. It's home finale. It's home finale to Air Force, 13-3. Okay, I'm not going to be laying 7 in the Hawaii Bowl with the Aztecs.
I just think it's curious. Like, we've talked about where all the lines have already moved, and there's still going to be more movements, right? Because, you know, limits get increased by the books in advance of the game, so there will still be more moves with these lines. So, know, there are some games where maybe you want to jump in now. Maybe if you like a side where you think you're going to get a better number, you can wait. The bowl season is just a very, very unique animal in that regard, where it's almost like week one of the season where these lines are just up forever and have all kinds of time to move, marinate, news updates, stuff like that.
All right, let's get to it. The grand finale.
Monday, December 26th.
Yep. Day after Christmas, you're sitting down, opened all your presents, and you turn on the television and you get to watch in Detroit, New Mexico State and Bowling Green. Bowling Green, thank you on my season win total over. That was a very nice gift pre-Christmas. And the 6-6 Bowling Green Eagles are taking on the 6-6 New Mexico State Aggies. We have actually seen significant line movement in this game. Some 3.5s out there, actually a lot of 3.5s out there in favor of the Falcons. Did I say Eagles earlier? I think I did. Falcons against New Mexico State. I think Bowling Green's just a better football team. You know, congrats on New Mexico State getting there. I'm not really interested in laying 3.5, but I do think they're a better football team. A lot of veteran players on that squad. Haven't heard of opt-outs as of yet for either side. So it would be Bowling Green or pass at 3.5. I don't think I could get really involved here, but I think anything under a field goal, even at 3, you could look at Bowling Green for me. Mr. Burke, I know your computer is slowly rebooting there. Final thoughts on this wonderful bowl game on December 26th.
Well, one thing I think that people have kind of been talking about a little bit, and I know I've mentioned this as well, that, you know, Jerry Kill has not done well in bowl games. He's 0-5 when it comes to the bowl season straight up. We got to keep in mind, too, that some of those came at Northern Illinois, where he just wound up playing teams that were out of his league for the most part. So that was part of it. Went winless at Minnesota as well. I think it's really impressive, the job that he's done here at New Mexico State. Of course, you know, he was the interim at TCU last year when Gary Patterson got canned. But with that being said, I mean, I don't know how much crowd necessarily matters, but, you know, Bowling Green will travel to Detroit. I mean, it's very, very close. It's not far at all. New Mexico State will have minimal to no support in this game. And for Bowling Green, you know, a team that, you know, they don't go to bowl games often either. So I tend to agree with this line move here, and I'd rather lay it with the Falcons than take New Mexico State.
The motivation, that's the key word, right, Tim? That's going to be
word.
I think it's definitely
word of the day.
Bowling
if,
Green
if you
side.
Play the VSiN College Football Podcast drinking game.
You're drunk right now. Motivation.
I think the thing that's got to concern you a little bit about the Falcons, they don't run the ball real well, about 100 yards per game. Their defense gives up 165 per game on the ground, so it's a little bit concerning. But I don't disagree with Bowling Green being the favorite here. New Mexico State's finish to the season is one of the craziest things you're ever going to see. Yeah. A 24-point dog, you win by 35 at Liberty, and then you beat Valpo senseless. And everybody's saying, why the hell was that game scheduled? But that got New Mexico State to 6-6 with the win over Valpo, 65-3. So, Tim, I would think that actually you make a convincing case for the Aggies being a college football playoff team if you look at their last two games. They outscored their opponents 114-17. 114-17 the last two. Those are Alabama, Georgia, Clemson type of numbers from past years.
Homer Drew didn't know what to do there on the sidelines of Valpo that last weekend. All right.
I think the only thing about that game was that it reminded me that Valpo's not the Crusaders anymore.
They aren't. I forget what their name
is. Beacons.
The Beacons?
I believe they're the Beacons.
Sure.
With a B, not like the Demon Deacons, but the
Beacons. We've gotten to the point of the podcast where we're talking about Valparaiso's nickname.
It is the Beacons, and I don't know why the hell they had to change it from Crusaders.
What's wrong? I don't know. Huh? I have no idea. I have no idea. I once got drunk at a Buffalo Wild Wings in Valparaiso, Indiana. So with that nugget, let's get to our best bet recap.
Best bet recap.
All right, let's wrap up this long holiday bowl betting podcast with our best bet recap. Mr. Humans, of the games we discussed, okay, because I do know that you have best bets later on in bowl season, but of the games we discussed, what do you want to officially
put in? Yeah, only the games we discussed on today's podcast. I'll go with looking at the screen using Circa Sports, DraftKings, whatever, you know, might be a market number out there at more than two books. I'm going to go with Troy +1, Louisville, Cincinnati under 40, and obviously I played that under 42, but 40 is the best number you can get right now. SMU -3.5, Fresno minus 3.5 and Air Force plus 5.5. So five plays here for this podcast.
Mr. Burke?
Yeah, I like that Troy UTSA over 55.5, one of the early bowl games there on Friday. I still think at this point in time, and looking at the situation for Fresno State and Washington State, I still think laying the 3.5 is fine. I think that's a number that just may keep running out, may keep going. So Fresno State minus 3.5 in that one. I'm going to lay the 10 with Marshall. I know that's probably a little bit of a surprising play in a lot of ways, but I do think Marshall minus 10 is the way to look in that one. I think Liberty plus 5 is worth it now as well, where that line's just kind of run out a little bit too much in that game. And then Louisiana plus 7. I'm going to fade Dana Holgorsen here in the bowl season.
All right, my best bets. I agree with you guys on Fresno. What could go wrong? But I will pair them with Southern Miss and make this a plus 129 money line parlay. You'll get plus 120 or so wherever you look. I'm going to go over in North Texas, Boise. I believe I've played one total on this podcast throughout the year, and it was a game in which I played an under and 35 points were scored in the fourth quarter. And then I'm going to take the points with Air Force. I played it at 7, but I'll still play it at 5.5. So three plays for me: Fresno State, Southern Miss money line parlay, North Texas, Boise over 59, Air Force plus 5.5.
Yeah, and the under 49 in Air Force Baylor for me as well. You mentioned that you like Air Force, and I think that, you know, I just feel like Baylor's going to want to try to run the football right back at him.
All right. We will be back. The plan, the day after Christmas, we hopefully will have a new podcast. We will have that for you. We also will reconvene for a special that'll run on Christmas Day on VSiN, but it'll also be in your podcast feed, taking a look at the New Year's Six and the college football playoff. That will drop in this feed around December 22nd. So rate, review, subscribe. It would make me very happy on Christmas if you could do that. For Matt Humans, Adam Burke, I'm Tim Murray. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.